Tonight, I want to share with us on a very sensitive topic, and I pray that the Lord will truly open our understanding to get it and to apply it. Glory to God. I'm teaching on the topic I've titled The Power of Purity. We have come to a level where men are beginning to define and redefine God's standard, and we are watering it down so that our humanity can be accommodated. But the Bible speaking in 2 Timothy chapter 1, I think from verse 19 now, it said the standard of the Lord standeth sure. 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. It said, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. It said, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Next verse, we are reading to verse 21. It said, but in a great house, they are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but of wood and of earth. And it says, some to honor, some to dishonor. This scripture reveals to us the reason, the potency of the witness of our Christian faith seems to be diminishing is because the subject and the virtue of purity has been undermined. So when you find a church where men don't command the honor of God, this is one of the reasons. It says, if a man, therefore, and this is my major emphasis, if a man, therefore, purges himself from these, he told us what those things are. If you read earlier verses, it has to do with issues that defy. If a man purges himself from these, it says, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared for every good works. We have come to a point where all we have are stories of what the patriarchs of old did. The question is, why has it become difficult for us to manifest God? You know, I kept asking myself, I say, media is a blessing because it amplifies what God is doing. But media has become a curse to our generation because we have learned how to hack the system, gain cheap popularity, attain cheap influence, gather multitudes, but you can't find the witness of the fathers. And what I share with you here, I'm included, because it's a burden that I share. In the days of the fathers, when you find multitudes gather, the things God will do, both in the meeting and after, sometimes will last for decades. From notable, unexplainable miracles that you can't deny, to that transformations, you meet people, you just know that the territory is visited. All kinds of people suddenly catching fire for God, running, advancing the kingdom, to reformations in the territory. Because when they visited the land, if they spoke to leaders, you found change. Leaders would redress their path, reorder their steps, resulting in territorial transformation. But our generation, at the end of all our movements, all we have left are pictures. pictures. Pictures of people who came. Pictures of who we saw. I just came from Ghana last week. I asked myself, is there a change in that land? Let's do a study for another 2 weeks. If there is really a change. It's time for us to begin to evaluate the scriptures again. And find if there are truly potent things happening. And if they are not, we examine the scriptures and find out what the fathers did that we are not doing. And I can tell you, one of the things the fathers upheld very strongly is the virtue of purity. Our generation, we are not just falling from this virtue. We are now creating doctrines that accommodate defilement. So you ask somebody today, what is righteousness? He tells you, righteousness is a gift. That's correct. Because Romans 5:17 makes us understand it's a gift. But that's not all there is about righteousness. You ask somebody today, what is righteousness? He tells you, righteousness is the divine nature that was imparted to you when you received Christ. That is true. Because 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us that. But that's not all there is about righteousness. Because I'm talking to you today, first, because I have the human nature. But what if I was not talking? So it's not just about the nature. It's what the nature compels you to do. So I'm not just human because I have a human nature. I'm also human because I function like a man. That's why today, when you behave, when you see certain attitudes of men, they call it inhumanity. They call it beastly attitude. So there are many human beings that have the nature of man but live like beasts. Because you can't tell me that somebody who kidnaps a child, butchers that child, delivers the body and receives 10,000, buys a church card, eats food, eats without conscience, and you say that person is a human. No doubt he has the nature. But when it has to do with character, that's a beast. And that's what we have today, even in Christendom. Gift of righteousness, true. Nature of righteousness, true. But character of righteousness, far-fetched. And the Bible told us in 1 John chapter 3, verse 7 and verse 9. It said, little children, let no man deceive you. It said, him that doeth, not him that has. True, you have the nature. But it's a him that doeth righteousness. That's the one who is righteous. And that's the one who can claim he's the child of God. He said, for therein are the children of God separated from the children of the devil. So you can't say you are righteous just because you have God's nature. That nature should influence God's character. But the character aspect, we don't just lack it, but we are creating doctrines to accommodate the serpentine nature that we have imbibed. This is why you can't find vessels unto honor. This is why God can no longer apportion good works to us. Because it's a man who purges himself from these things that God prepares for good works. So the works that we pray, hope for, sing of, talk about, we can't see them. Because we don't have what it takes to be considered honorable in the realm of God. And so we must come to a part of restoration. And restoration begins by acknowledging the problem that we have. So that we can ask for help, receive grace, and transit into what God expects us to be. People teach holiness today as anything God alights on. So Mount Sinai is holy. Because when the Spirit of God comes on anything, it becomes sanctified. But since God came upon Mount Sinai, what other activities are happening there? So God came on your life, sanctified you. But this you that is sanctified, you are joining yourself with the harlot. So are you sanctified? Lying to ourselves. You are holy because you are set apart for God. How can you now carry the house of God and combine it with the harlot? Paul said, whoever is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. He said, so you shouldn't join the house of God to a harlot. So if you say God is on you and you are sanctified, that's true. But are you living sanctified? This is why many dimensions of God that we can exegize from scripture excellently, yet we can't manifest. Because it's beyond exegesis. A life must be built to support it. And if you read that scripture, it didn't just say if God purges the man. It said if the man purges himself. So there's a place where the Holy Ghost sanctifies you, and there's a place where you too must deploy grace to live sanctified. If a man purges himself, in 1 Corinthians 9:27, Paul said, I beat my body. I bring it under subjection. I beat my body. I bring it under subjection. A generation needs to wake up and fight for purity. We are living in a world of defilement. And unfortunately, most of us have joined that parade. In 2 Corinthians 6:17, it says, come out from among them. It says, touch not the unclean thing. It says, they that bear the vessels of God, they must be clean. We will end up with strategies and make a caricature of ourselves if we don't pay the price to build and cultivate purity. And so tonight, I'm going to be attempting to define purity from biblical perspective and then show you layers or dimensions of purity and then show you the power of purity. And then I round up by showing you how to cultivate purity. I landed the country 2 hours ago. But all through the night, while I was flying, this was the burden in my spirit. You know, the teachings I've been giving you in the last 2 weeks are targeted at bringing you into experiencing and manifesting God. I remember teaching you last week on how to be full of God. On Tuesday, I taught you how to walk in grace. Go sit down with these messages. Meditate on them and become what you hear. We are in a treacherous, cruel, wicked generation. You know, I didn't know what the Bible meant by mammon until I came. Where I'm coming from, when I entered there, I now realize why the Bible didn't compare religion or wickedness with God, but mammon. If you fall here, you are playing. It means you don't even know what you are, what you are doing. I've been going to Dubai since 2018 or 2019. But usually when I come, as I preach, that night I leave. I never go out. But this visit I went for, I said, let me look around this environment. What is going on here? And I turned through my window. I looked outside. And as I gazed here for like 10 minutes, I counted more than 10 Rolls Royce.
wanted more than 10 Ferraris. G-Wagon is like Corolla there. Corolla. You know Corolla? G-Wagon is like Corolla. Range Rover is like... They use Tesla for Uber. And what's happening here? What? I mean, it's normal. It's normal. I said, what is good? Are these people living here for pleasure? Is this vanity or what am I seeing here? I now step down from the hotel room just to see the environment. If you turn here, you see more than 6 women. They are naked. You turn here, any direction you turn, they were coming as if they were pushing them. I said, where is this? I now tried to escape and go outside. I saw the reason why they were coming in that volume. In front of the hotel, there were more than 4 Lamborghinis, more than 5 Rolls Royce, Ferraris, and then the guys that parked those cars, they wear short knickers and shirt, and they just threw out casually. I now knew this is the headquarters of Wardom. There are Christians there. The point I'm making is, if you fall here, you dived into a cup. You fell into a cup. You didn't fall. You drowned in the cup of water. Because there's no loss here, sir. You will look at cars. You will change your ambition in life and say, me, I must have 2 Rolls Royce to start. The thing will hit your soul hard. Now, that's the world we are hoping to conquer. I saw what it meant when the Bible said Satan took Jesus up and showed him the glory of the world in a moment and said, bow to me. When Jesus stood his ground, it takes the spirit to be pure. You have not seen the glory of the world, I tell you. If you see the glory of the world, but this is what Satan uses to bargain the children of God. So, you see, I realize the most powerful force on earth is the force of seduction. It darkens the heart of people. So, when people are defied, you know what the Bible said? It said they are separated from God. Ephesians 4:17. Write these scriptures down. Many people are no longer part of God's family. They will discover in eternity. He said, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds. Verse 18, what is the result of that vanity? Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them and the blindness of their heart. So the 2 negative impacts of defilement is a darkened understanding. That's why the moment you lose your purity, no spiritual thing makes sense to you anymore. Prayer no longer makes sense. Fasting no longer makes sense. Giving, because your understanding is darkened. Soul winning no longer makes sense. Worshipping God no longer makes sense. And that's not all. It said you are alienated. The same way the Gentiles that don't know God are alienated. So the things of the Spirit can no longer find expression in your life. You call the name of Jesus, no power. You quote scripture, no result. And then you are wondering, what happened? You have been cut off from the commonwealth of Israel. The things that respond to us no longer respond to you. Because it doesn't just darken your heart and make the things of God useless. It also cuts you off from the supply of the Spirit. A switch is useless if there's no flow of electricity. On it, no light will come up. Light does not come up because there's a switch. Light comes up first because there's a flow of electricity. So when defilement enters you, it cuts you off from the flow of life. This is why you'll find many Christians empty, powerless, and almost useless. The foundation is that they have lost their purity. He said, we have not received the spirit that is of the world. We have received the spirit that is of God. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 12. It says, so we know the things freely given to us by God. It says, which things we speak, not with words that human wisdom teaches, but with words that the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. It said, the natural mind, the mind that is of the senses, the unspiritual, defied mind. It said, it cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. It said, neither can he know them. Does that resemble Ephesians 4:18? He can't receive, he can't know. So when you say be blessed, he can't receive it. When he says Jesus, he can't receive what the name of Jesus delivers. When he quotes scripture, he can't receive what he delivers. And he can't know them. The appetite and desire for God dies with defilement. So when Satan wants to rob a generation, he may allow that generation to be going to church. He may allow that generation to be praying. He may allow that generation to be calling the name of Jesus. He may allow that generation to be quoting scripture. But in addition to all of that, he will add defilement. They can do that in corruption. So long as they are doing it with defilement, it will be useless. Fight like Paul. Fight to keep your purity. Reject any doctrine that makes you think it's okay to live in sin. Reject any encouragement that makes you feel it's okay to manage defilement. Hope you know Satan didn't bother whether Jesus had a mission or not. He just wanted to add defilement to that mission. And if he succeeds in doing that, everything is already lost. The Bible says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. 2 Corinthians 4:3. As powerful as the gospel is, Paul calls the gospel the power of God unto salvation. But this power of God unto salvation, the Bible said it is useless to those who are not pure. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are what? Lost. Whom the God of this world has blinded. How does he blind them? Ephesians 4:18. Through defilement. Therefore, every fight. what will come out with, what you will hear is hey, not hello. Oh, they will eat. Oh God, bath before you come to church. Wash your clothes. Iron it. Brush your mouth, sir. Get a cologne. Even if it's a one of 200, buy it. Don't kill some people. Don't stop somebody from accessing God. We believe in brotherly love, but let brothers be clean. Please. How can anybody take you serious? Shirt is squeezed, smelling, and they say, in this church, they don't even, people don't love themselves. You finish service, nobody will even greet you. Greet who? You want to kill me? You say hello, somebody. It's your home. There's a chemical imbalance instant. Before you accuse everybody, look at yourself first. I'm not saying we should despise anybody, but sir, make yourself lovable. And stop accusing everybody in the house of God. Now, let's go into serious business. Morally and spiritually clean. Glory to God. If this one touched you, it means that's your first message. Go and buy soap and detergent. Wash all your clothes. Iron it. Now we have to buy. If you go to churches now, we buy fragrances to saturate everywhere first. I wanted to say, if you don't have, come after service. But I know that will be a risk. The multitude that will come. At least let's pay school fees for now. Buy soap 15 naira and wash your clothes. Purity. Let's get back to business. What are the dimensions of purity? Number one, purity of the heart. This speaks of inner motives and desires. As a believer, you must ensure at all times that your motives and your desires are right concerning everything you do. See, we are so defied that even the so-called service in the house of God is done with wrong motives. That's why when you move people from one area of service to another, they are offended. Because they are looking for self-gain, self-aggrandizement, not glorifying God. And many persons, their area of defeat and Matthew 5:8, it says, blessed are the pure in heart. It says, for they shall see God. Proverbs 4:3, guard your heart. When you start saying things like this, Satan becomes afraid. Because he knows many giants will rise. This is what stops many persons. He said, I, the Lord, I don't see how men see. I see the heart. There are many people today who are fasting every month for 21 days. They are going nowhere. You know why? How can God be using that person and not me? Motive wrong. This was the only thing that stopped Hannah from having a child for many years. What is it about Penina that she has so many children that I don't have? Or, madam, forget Penina. Face yourself and your work with God. The day she turned from the woman and said, Lord, give me a child. I will give him back to you. Pregnancy came automatic. Our motives most times are wrong. Why do you want that position? Why do you want to carry out that service? Why do you want to be in that location? Most times, error in motive. That's why fasting, prayer produces no result. It says, guard your heart with all diligence. Proverbs 4:23. He says, out of it are the issues of life. Other translation calls it the boundaries of life. So your possibilities are to the extent that your heart is purified. If your heart is wrong, you will never see it. Some people keep despising those God helps because they are thinking they are better qualified. That's why they never attain it. Their heart towards them is evil. So the first dimension of purity is of the heart. It deals with motives. Listen, check your motives, though. Especially when you want to take actions. If your motives are wrong, stop that action. Go to God. Tell him, help me. Get your motives right before you take any action. Before you waste your time and your resources. Number two, dimension of purity is purity of the mind. This speaks about your thought life. Thought life. Any good report, if there be virtue, if there be praise, it said, think on those things. Some people's thought life is terrible. They wake up in the morning with thoughts of immorality till they sleep. They wake up with thoughts of treachery, manipulative thoughts before they sleep. In fact, they are so guarded with those thoughts that if you make a mistake in 5 seconds, they are already equipped to swindle you. They are guarded. And when God finds such people, he doesn't just separate himself from them. He destroys them. Genesis, you read it. Chapter 6, I think from verse 8 now. It said the thoughts and the imaginations of man was evil continually. And God said, I will no longer strive with man. You must learn how to purify your thoughts through meditation on the word of God. He said, how then shall a young man keep his ways? He said, by taking heed unto thy word. Thy word have I put in my heart that I should not sin against you. Psalm 119. Verse 9 and 11. Purify your thoughts. It says, casting down imaginations and every high standing thing that upholds itself above the knowledge of God. 2 Corinthians 10, from verse 5 to 6. It says, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. How do you look at that brother and all that comes out of you is lost? Why do you look at that sister and all that comes out of you is lost? Something is wrong with you. Sit on the word, meditate for you to be refined. That's not how men think. Your thoughts will be so purified that even when you see a harlot, instead of lusting, you should pity the person and you should develop a burden to win them. It's possible. That's where God ordained us to live. I'm telling you why we are powerless. It's largely from within us. Number three, purity of speech or words. Some people are so defied in their communication. Ephesians 4:29. It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Let no evil communication. Some people enjoy talking vanity. They enjoy talking iniquity. And it's a revelation of the state of their heart. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. No matter how Satan pushes you to say idle words, evil words, stop yourself. Let nothing unwholesome come out of your mouth. Now they have even become slangs. And you hear Christians use them. That's not how we speak. There is a code for our communication. Colossians 4:6 said, let our words be seasoned with grace. We speak only wholesome things. You should be irritated when men speak error, evil, idle words around you. Don't be inspired by such things and pick them up. You hear Christians pick words from the gutters. And they'll be using these words. And they don't know that these are instruments of defilement. It choked me. It choked me. What is that? Those days when we were in the university, almost graduating from the university, you ask somebody something. If it's something he cannot do or something he doesn't want to do, say, make I die. What's that? Nonsense. That's why we can't be pure. Our words corrupt us. Number 4, purity of the body. This speaks of sexual integrity. 1 Corinthians 6, 17 to 20. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. And you think it ends there. No, it doesn't. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committed fornication sinneth against the body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God? You are not your own. Verse 20. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Glorify God with your body. Don't get yourself into everything. Don't touch things. Don't allow things touch you in a compromising manner. Do you know that the way you can shake somebody can be defilement seductively? The way you can look at somebody can be defilement seductively? There are people that their eyes, I've taught you here before, nakash. They send seduction through their eyes. They look at you, roll their eyes, they shake you, hold your hands, squeeze it. These are seduction. Don't let those things. Nowadays, young ladies carry their phones and they say they are doing face chat. Is it face chat? And they are rolling their tongues. They don't even know why they are doing it. They roll their tongues and put online. Seduction is called defilement of the body. They are defiled and they are defiling others. So that when weak people see these things, arrows of seduction are shot into their hearts. What are you putting your tongue and recording and putting online for? If you are not an agent of the serpent. You think it's only those who fly that are agents? They are more trekking agents than flying ones. A young man goes to gym. That's a healthy exercise. But if the gym ends with wearing shirt, removing four buttons, and putting your chest everywhere. Oh God, go and close that chest and get out of the road. We are not living life by the size of chest. Find out our sisters today. They sew clothes, the whole cleavages outside, the whole lap outside. And hypocrites, they'll be trying to cover. What are you covering? Don't you know what you want? Defy people trying to defile others. And when you talk, they say, no, it's not works, works. We are in grace. Which grace? He said, the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness, that we should live soberly, godly, in this present world. What grace are you talking about? If any part of your body provokes sexual desires from anybody at any time, and it is not within the context of marriage, your body has been defiled. And you have converted it as an agent of defilement. Number 5, purity of relationships. These are relationships with well-defined boundaries. When relationships lose their boundaries, it has provoked defilement. 1 Timothy 5 verse 2, it says, treat the younger women as sisters. So any conversation, anything you can't do with your blood sister, don't do with a sister in church. Treat the elder women as mothers, the younger women as sisters, with all purity. Hello, my sister, and you hug her. When you find such a person, hold his ear and pull him out of there. Let him go with his seduction. Shake her. She's not your wife. If you must hug her on the side. Don't grab anybody here. I want to break and puncture the person in the name that you are doing brotherly love. The whole body is laden with seduction. You think Satan don't know you? Jokers. Hebrews 12:14 said, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no eye shall see God. Every relationship has a boundary. There's no chat I can chat with anybody that my wife can't see. All of you who chat me here, my wife sees. If she looks at you like this, it means be careful. If not, that my husband was calling you sister, I know where you wanted to go. If you will hide your phone from your wife, something is wrong. You know that you have violated boundaries. There's no conversation you can have with a sister that your wife can't come in. You claim you want to help her, but your wife can't know. What help is that? There's an ulterior motive. If that help is pure, you won't be afraid of telling your wife. Don't worry. I don't like the way you are trekking. I will buy you a car. How many people have you bought car for before? And this car you want to buy, how come it's a secret conversation? Let's see. Okay, where? Not in the office. Why are you seeing everybody in the office, but this one has to be in the park? are not sincere people, sir. That's why Satan explores and destroys us. Purity in relationships. Number six, purity in worship. Jesus said in John 4:24, he said, they that worship the Father must worship him in spirit and in truth. Isaiah 1:11 to 14, the whole emphasis is to reject fake and impure worship. And you know worship that is not sincere. Everybody's praying. You start on your chair like this. The moment they gave you mic, hey, baka, 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 baka. Augusta, when you want to add drama, go to the back. We are doing serious business here. They are worshiping God. You are pressing your phone. Until they say, take, lead worship. You start crying. No wonder they call them artists now. Artists, that's what we have now. Artists. They come as if they love God. The moment they finish singing, they follow the back door and go. Artists. We need worshipers. People who fear God. People who reverence God. People who honor God. People who love God. That's what God is checking, not the song you are singing. The song is supposed to ventilate the heart of honor, the heart of reverence, the heart of adoration. So if there's no honor, if there's no reverence, if there's no adoration, that's an echo. And then finally, purity in general conduct. In 1 Peter 1:15 and 16, the Bible told us, but as he which has called you is holy, it says, so ye, be ye holy in all manner of conversation. This is where your conscience comes in as a checker. Your conscience. As a checker. Do you know there are some men of God today, if they marry, they have to change their SIM cards? Because if they don't, there will be problem at home. There are more than 8 sisters that they are having the same conversation with. These are not holy brethren. I'm not talking to you as man, one who has not fallen before. I have fallen. But I didn't lie to myself. So I cried to God anytime I fall to help me rise. So this is not self-righteousness. This is showing you the standard of God. And as you imbibe it, grace will be supplied to help you. So these are the dimensions of purity. Be pure in all manner of conversation. If you do this, you will see the power of purity. And very quickly, because of our time, let me itemize few powers that true biblical purity confers on men. You know, as a traveler, I had to sit down to begin to learn all these things. Because when I started traveling at first, the only dimension of power I knew is the power that comes from the stirring of the Holy Spirit. So, before I go to preach, I pray in tongues for hours. When I'm preaching, everywhere has to be on fire for power to move. I now realize it's not every day I'm preaching. As I started growing, some people call me 2 a.m. in the morning. Somebody is dying. Where is the time to go and be stirred? You are walking in the market. As I was coming into the country today, a guy ran to me. in business class, knelt down and said, please pray for me. I was so ashamed. I said, stand up for where? The more I drag it, the more he knelt. In order not to waste time, I said, Father, bless him. I said, it's well with you, sir. Prayer short so that I can go away. How do you go and start staring yourself there? That means there are many tributaries to power. It can't just be you are stirred. If you are not stirred, there's no power. No, sir. Most of the testimonies we record come from casual moments. Somebody runs into you in the market. You say, it is well. And things change. I sat with my house, my wife in the house, when the brother with the sister came and complained they rejected him from the football club. Go! Divine intervention. 48 hours later, the same coach called him. Augusta, I didn't come from prayer. You need different dimensions of power to be relevant. Otherwise, you will end up a religious man who will only manifest power in a church service. But for you to walk in power all the time, you need to know the different dimensions or indicators of power in scripture. And purity is one of it. There are certain powers you will never have until you live a pure life. Don't let anybody deceive you. He said, who shall stand upon the mountains of God? Who shall stand upon his holy hills? He says, him that is of a pure hand, of a pure heart, who has not lifted his soul in vanity. So you'll find men wielding powers in the courts of God. Purity is defining it. And there are different things that provoke power. But quickly, let's look at the powers of purity. Number one, purity grants access and sustenance of God's presence. Find people who always carry tangible dimension of God's presence. Amongst other things, purity is there. Purity is not the only thing. Humility sponsors it. Obedience sponsors it. He said, if you obey me, I and my Father will come and make our house with you. He said, him that is humble, he said, God will shower grace. Who should I look upon? He said, a man that is of a contrite heart and of a broken spirit. So, humility, obedience, but purity also provokes presence. If you want to carry God's presence, be pure, sir. Live a holy life. I, oh Lord, am of a purer eyes. My eyes cannot behold iniquity. You can't move around with iniquity and expect God's presence to validate you. That's why today, men of God are looking for all kinds of things to validate them. In the days of the fathers, you didn't need to snap a picture with somebody to have validation. When they walk into a city, they came with a cloud. God himself is the one who announces them. How do you think this man took the world without internet, without telephone? How did they take the word? There was something they carried. When Moses came to the courts of Pharaoh, there was no credential. God was his credential. The God of the Hebrew have sent me. Let my people go that they may serve me. Who is he? Don't worry, he will come here. I didn't come with theology, but I came with presence. I may not have theology, but I have presence. I have presence. And the guy dropped his rod, and his rod became a serpent. The Egyptian wise men did it. Moses' rod swallowed their own. And as you study that story, you see that the presence kept growing. After the 10th plague, the presence became Shekinah. That which was invincible became visible. And when they went out, the Bible said God went before them as a pillar of cloud by day and as a pillar of fire by night. The presence had built up upon the man until it became a cloud. We are shouting, singing, God's presence is not there because our garments are not pure. Something is wrong with our being. Blessed are the pure in heart. I quoted already Matthew 5:8. They are the ones who see God. Who stands? Who is he that stands in the mountains of God? Psalm 24:3-5. Who stands upon his holy hills is the man that is of a pure heart. His hands are clean. He has not lifted his soul in vanity. You find people who carry God's presence in a sustained manner. Check. There's something they are doing with grace to keep their garments pure.
We lack God's presence. And when you lack God's presence, you will suffer. You will suffer. Your Christianity will be bedeviled with a lot of crises that you can't resolve. What did Moses have? All Moses carried that made him shut down Egypt, walk through the Sinai desert, enter the promised land was God's presence. The Bible said their shoe grew with them. Their garments did not wax old. That means a man who carries God's presence has abundance. He said he rebuked kings for their sakes. Touch not my anointed. Do my prophets no harm. Nobody could fight them. God's presence. And you need to read the Bible to know the people they battled with. The Bible spoke of Sihon, the king of the Amorites. He spoke of Og, the king of Bashan. Their warriors were beastly men. A man could stand up and he looked like a bear. Some of them had hairs like tigers. Those were the people they were fighting. There was no military training. They were not even coordinated because they were slaves all their lives. But without military intelligence, without economic power, they went with the Shekinah. Nations opened. Armies were shut down. Provisions came. Even the rock gave them water. What are you talking? The rock. The Bible said he cleft the rock also and the waters gushed out in the desert. How can water come in the desert? When they needed food, manna came from heaven and they told Moses, we want to eat meat. Moses said, why are you tempting God? God said, no, tell them to go forward. Even in the desert, meat can come. And the Bible said he commanded the east wind and he brought quails. Bears were sitting on bed. So there was meat, there was food, there was protection, there was provision because of the presence. He suffered no man to do them harm. He gave a commandment in the spirit. Touch not my anointed. Do my prophets no harm. They carried the presence. How have we become so helpless? How have we become so powerless? How have we become so useless? Because there's no presence. They had to look for men to cause them to be able to fight them. Because they were too powerful. And they were using stones. He said, the Lord is my banner. When they went to fight, all Moses needed to do was to put his hand up. The Lord is my banner. There was an atmosphere over these people. The Bible said Moses sent soldiers out. When they returned, more than 18 battalions, they said no man was missing. Not one. Not one man was missing. They fought wars without casualties. I prophesy over someone. As you make up your mind to live pure, the presence of God will tabernacle over you. I said the presence of God will tabernacle over you. It's a him that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. Abides under the shadow of the Almighty. He shall say of his God, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I will trust. He shall be my shield and my buckler. See, 1,000 shall fall by your side, 10,000 by your right hand. He shall not come near you. I decree and declare, the presence of God is your banner. Sit down for a moment. The presence orchestrated by purity. You think Satan is not smart? He saw that Job was hedged by God on every side. Nothing could harm him. And he went to provoke the guy. It didn't work. Use his wife. Curse God. If you break the head, the serpent will bite. Most of us use impurity to break the head. Your business would have been intact until you became creative about carrying women to go and sleep with them in another country. Your family would have remained intact until you deployed intelligence on how to change figures in the office. And you didn't know what you were doing was breaking the head. And then the glory that covered your life, that brought protection, that brought honor, suddenly lifts and you discover you are naked. Was that not the case of Adam? Carried God's glory, carried God's presence,
until he rebelled. Power of purity. Number two, it attracts favor. Daniel chapter 1 verse 8 to 9. It's not everything you achieve by men laying hands on you. There are certain things that principles provoke. But Daniel proposed in his heart that he will not defy himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor the wine which they drank. Therefore, he requested of the eunuch that he might not defy himself. See the implication, next verse. Now God brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the eunuch. You refuse defilement. It will look like a disadvantage for a while, but over time, what favor will provoke will be more than what you would have achieved for yourself using human intelligence. Genesis 39 verse 2 to 9. Look at Joseph. The Bible said in Romans 15 verse 4, the things that were written aforetime, they were written for our learning, so that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Look at the things written aforetime. And the Lord was with Joseph. You will see why God was with Joseph. It was purity. And he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. So even slaves can prosper if God is with them. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord has made all that he did to prosper in his hands. Because of God's presence, he was promoted. And Joseph found grace, which is also favor, in his sight. And he served him, and he made him overseer over his house. In all that is his house, he put in his hand. But why did he have this kind of favor? You will see that in verse 9. And it came to pass, from that time, he was made overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessings of the Lord was upon all that he had in his house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. So the master didn't even know his wealth. All he knew was food was there to eat. Joseph was in charge of everything. And he said Joseph was well favored. He was favored to the degree that he was promoted to be an overseer. But what was at the foundation? We will now see why he was so favored. Verse 8 and 9. Go to verse 7. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph and said, lie with me. This is where we discovered the secret of Joseph's favor and power. He said, but he refused. I wish God will raise a generation of people that can refuse. And you will see favor like never before. You will see divine presence. The problem we have is that we can't refuse. And in our generation, they don't even entice us. We are the one who draw them to us. In the name of seeking favor. Favor that does not come from God. He refused. and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house. And he had committed all that he had to my hands. He doesn't even know what he has. All that he has is in my care. I'm the one who tells him his worth. He said, therefore, is none greater in this house than I. Neither had he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? He was a pure man. The woman accused him in an undeniable fashion because he cut his shirt. It looked as if purity was a disadvantage. And the guy spent 2 years in prison. But what we saw eventually was that those 2 years took him where his lifetime outside purity would never have taken him. The Bible said until the time that his word came. He said the word of the Lord tried him. The king sent for to lose him. Even the ruler of the people. He made him lord of his house. He had gone beyond Potiphar. Where God took him to, even Potiphar couldn't approach. You are not losing by being pure. You stand your ground for God and see the testimonies your life will command. Purity attracts favor, and not just favor. Favor that brings promotion. Daniel was promoted. Joseph was promoted. You will be promoted. Number three, purity releases spiritual power and authority. You saw already 2 Timothy 2:21. If any man purges himself, not if an apostle, not if a prophet, it's not about an office. You can occupy an office. If you are not pure, you will face reproach. If a man, therefore, purges himself from these things, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, prepared for every good works. Prepared for every good work. That's authority. I showed you already. Psalm 24 verse 3 to 5. Who shall stand in the mountains of God? Who shall stand upon his holy hills? Who is that person? It's not an apostle. It's not a prophet. It is him that is of a clean hands, of a pure heart, who has not lifted his soul in vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. You will wield power if you live pure. God is not a respecter of persons. You live pure, you will see power. And power is not just for preaching. The covering that your children requires is sponsored by power. The prosperity that your family needs is sponsored by power. The preservation that you require is sponsored by power. Not self-power, power of the Spirit. Because God is not doing business with your power. He's doing business with the power of the Holy Ghost. That's why I say it's not by power or by might. So it's not by what you have. It's by the Spirit. But the way you access Spirit power is by walking pure. Don't let any Satan deceive you. That if you fall, you ask for forgiveness, you'll be forgiven. Yes, you will, but you remain a child. And the heir that remains a child is not different from a servant. Fight to live holy. The power of purity. Number one, it provokes access and sustenance of divine presence. Number two, it attracts divine favor that brings promotion. Number three, it releases spiritual power and authority. Number four, it sharpens spiritual discernment. When a man does not live pure, everything he sees is contaminated. So he can't discern anymore. He can't separate between what is good or bad. The Bible said in Titus 1:15, it said to the pure, all things are pure. So a pure man can see from the realm of God. To the pure, all things are pure. But to them that are defiled and unbelieving, nothing pure. Even their mind and conscience is defiled. So they can't walk in discernment. You find Christians who are confused every day. They can't pick God's thoughts. They can't pick God's position. It's because their inner man is defiled. And so the lenses to see is corrupt. That's why they keep pursuing prophets everywhere, from mountain to forest to bush to river. Whereas Jesus said, my sheep heareth my voice. How come you can't hear? Because you can't see God. It's those who are pure in heart that can see God. They are the one who can discern God's perspective. He says, strong meat belongs to them. Hebrews 5:14. Who by reason of use have exercised their senses. I'm giving you strong meat here. Exercise their senses to discern between good and evil. You need discernment. I tell you, your life is a catalog of decisions. Nothing is more numerous in your life than decisions. Every ladder is a decision. And so those who lack discernment, they are done for in life. But it takes purity to walk in discernment. Number 5, purity imparts boldness. And you need boldness to get ahead in life. Even the apostles of Jesus, when they were beaten and flogged, and their confidence was depleted, they returned back to the posture of the upper room. The Bible said they went to their own company, locked the door and hid themselves. That means one of the propellers of that conclave was boldness. And when they prayed, that's one thing God gave them. In Acts 4, verse 31, when they had prayed, they were filled with the Spirit. The place where they were was shaking. And the Lord gave them the power to speak the word with boldness. And when boldness came, verse 33, with great power, God gave them witness of the resurrection of Jesus, and great grace was upon them. Those who don't have boldness, they can't advance God's kingdom. Prayer, like you have seen, sponsors boldness. But it's not only prayer that sponsors boldness. Purity also sponsors boldness. Proverbs 28:1 says, the righteous is as bold as a lion. 1 John 3:21-22. It says, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence. The moment you lose your purity and your heart condemns you, you lose your boldness. And the Bible says, cast not away your confidence, for it has what? A great recompense of reward. So if you want the reward that boldness brings, keep your garment pure. Some of the things we say here, do you think we can say them? If there's any sister here that I send a message, let's meet in a hotel. Can I say what I'm saying? You can't have the audacity, sir. So it's not about revelation only. It's about boldness that is born from purity. See many preachers, every day they say, let's forbear, let's forbear. They are careful so that their own canker worms are not open. We are losing authority even from the altar because holy men are few. We don't have pure vessels anymore. How many people can challenge government? How dare you? You know the conversation you had with them behind the curtain. So you can't come here and talk to them, sir. So when we gather, all we say is, let's pray for government. No, we don't only pray for government. There is a time when we speak truth to power. But you can't speak truth to power if you are compromised. So we are losing ground because we lack purity. I believe in praying for those in power. We do. But there is a time when you call a spade. You tell truth to power. And if you have nothing from them, they can't do anything. He said, the prince of this world cometh to me and findeth nothing. So I can speak with audacity because my garments are pure. That's Jesus' testimony. Number six, purity prepares and opens you up to divine visitation. Again, I show you Matthew 5:8. The pure in heart see God. So they receive visitations and habitation with God. In Psalm 15:1-2, he said, Lord, who shall abide in that tabernacle? He said, it is him that walketh uprightly. Him that walketh uprightly. Don't you know that when corruption comes, encounters shut down? In 1 Samuel 3:1, in those days, the voice of the Lord was cast. There were no open visions. And the ewy lamp in the temple had gone out. Why? Hophni and Phinehas were corrupting and defiling the altar. You can't have encounters, divine visitations, where there's no purity. Those of you listening to me, ask yourself, the days when you're burnt with fire, will a month pass before you have an encounter? How come all your encounters were 5 years ago? Something has gone wrong. God kept visiting Adam in the garden until he rebelled. And he was driven from the garden. You cut off encounters when you stain your garment with defilement. Finally, purity is a weapon against Satan. Believe me, Satan fears men who walk pure. It's not just about screaming, Jesus, Jesus. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, that the King of glory might come in. Who is the King of glory? When you meet a principality, when you shout Jesus, he will say, who are you? Because even Jesus, he met him. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. Because a principality is not a demon. You don't cast him out. You wrestle with him. And you can't wrestle with him when you have given him a place. That's why Paul said, giving no place to the devil. Jesus said, in John 14:30, the prince of this world cometh to me and findeth nothing. He said, when your obedience is complete, then you avenge other disobedience. Putting on the whole armor of God, wherewith you are able to withstand all the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. But to do that, we must put on. He didn't say the Holy Ghost will put on you. He said you put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the boot of the readiness of the gospel, the shield of faith, and the sword of the spirit. Many people are carrying Rema without breastplate of righteousness. You fornicated yesterday, you are coming to quote Rema. You changed figures in the office yesterday, you are coming to quote Rema. Which Rema is that? Your chest is empty. Before you stretch the sword, the arrow will enter you. So purity has powers. And the first is access and sustenance of divine presence. The second is attraction of divine favor that brings promotion. Favor is not something you should pray for a whole year, sir. There's a way you live your life that favor will pursue you. The third is spiritual power and authority. The fourth is sharpened discernment. You can't be confused. No confused man exercises dominion. Dominion is for people who have precision. The fifth is boldness and audacity to wield the power of God. The sixth is unending divine visitations that result in divine habitation. And the seventh is weapons, not just to fight, but to withstand the wiles of the devil. This is why every Christian must build purity. We have reduced Christianity to the covering of pastor. Pastor said, pastor laid hands, I'm under this covering. You are joking, though. Hope you know that pastor too has covering. And if pastor's covering is only a man, hope you know that man too has covering. And hope when you trace it, you'll trace it to a man who no longer has a man's covering. So there are coverings that are superior to man's covering. I believe in man's covering. Paul said, when I leave you, grievous wolves will come. That means if it's there, they won't come. So I'm not speaking against covering. He said, obey them that have rule over you. They watch over your soul. Hebrews 13:17. I'm not talking against covering. But I am saying, no man can be your Jesus. So you need to know what to do with the word of God to live in safety. Otherwise, it will become human worship before you realize it. That's why today men will tell people they are finished because they are no longer connected to them. Okay? Where is the blood of Jesus? Where is the word of God? Where is the Holy Spirit? You connect with me today because God permitted it. And the day God says it's over, there's nothing I can do to you. Witchcraft has taken over the church. And the reason is because we don't have men that have the word. We don't have men. Babies everywhere. It says strong meat belongs to them who by reason of use have exercised their senses to discern good and evil. You need to fight for purity. And if you are living in iniquity, you need to repent tonight, rededicate yourself, because you are taking a risk. There is a day of trouble. The Bible speaks of the evil day. That day comes for everybody. But those of us who know what to do, that day becomes the day of testimony. Because every time we testify, we break the attack of Satan. How then do you develop purity? Quickly, as I round up. Number one, be properly born again. That's the foundation of purity. You receive God's nature. You receive the sanctifying power of the Holy Ghost. You receive the grace of Jesus. These are the things you trade with as you grow in purity. But you can't have them until you are born again. Ezekiel 36:26. A new heart will I give you. And a new spirit, my God, will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of the flesh. And I will give you an heart of flesh. So the protocol begins with receiving a new nature. But that new nature cannot happen except you come into Christ. For whoever is in Christ Jesus is a new creature. All things are passed away. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Behold, all things have become new. Now are we the sons of God. Now are we. Not later. For as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. John 1:12. So the beginning of purity is to receive Christ. Then when you receive Christ, you trade with Christ. You trade with the Holy Ghost. You trade with the word. You trade with grace to live pure. To live pure. So number two, to live pure, fill your heart with the word.
feel it.
It's the content of your heart that determines your action and the direction of your life.
Psalm 119, verse 9 and 11. How then shall a young man keep his ways? By taking heed unto thy word. He said, thy word have I put in my heart, that I might not sin against you. In John 15, verse 3, he said, the words you have heard, he said, they have cleansed you. They purify you. The word was like fire locked up in my bones. You can't live pure without the water. The word is the force within you that stimulates purity. You don't have it, you will struggle, and your will be overwhelmed. People want to live pure exercising their will. They can't. It's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual thing. So you need the word to energize you. Just saturate yourself with the word and see how lost we die. Appetites will change. That's what the word does. For we all with unveiled faces, beholding as in the glass, the glory of the Lord, we are changed. You are beholding that glory in the word. From glory to glory, even as by the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:18. So you can't live pure if you are not full of the word. The Bible says, carry with you words. Carry it. Many Christians, they don't know the word. It says somewhere, did the Bible not say, everything is a question. And so the serpent beguiled them like he did Eve. Number three, how do you cultivate purity? By cultivating intimacy with the Holy Ghost. Galatians 5:16. It says, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Romans 8:13. If we live after the flesh, we will die. But if we, through the Spirit, mortify the deeds of the flesh, we shall live. These things are possible because it's not your ability. It's the ability of God in you that makes you pure. But you must take advantage. You must yield. So you accept Christ. You choke yourself with the word. Then you yield to the Spirit. And you will see what becomes of your life. Number four. Practice daily repentance. Practice it. Daily. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Theologians say, what the Bible is saying here is not necessarily the sins we commit. Because there are sins of commission, and there are sins of omission. So if you have to confess your sins, you don't know all your sins. That's not my argument. You know, they say Christ was made sin for us. He was made sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He was made sin. So when he said confess our sin, they say if you confess Christ. Because the word used here for confess is the word homologia. That means saying what he says. But whichever one you tilt to, if you say it is sin, it means you are turning away from it. If you say it's Christ, it means you are turning to him. Both of them is repentance. So if you want to live pure, practice what? Daily repentance. And God will empower you. He said, for where sin abounds, He said, grace abounds much more.
So you cry for God to purify you, to enable you to turn from your sins. Psalm 51 verse 10. The psalmist cried, create in me a perfect heart.
Don't become relaxed in sin and say everybody is doing it. Even if everybody is doing it, it doesn't justify it.
In the days of Noah, everybody was doing it. He was the only one not doing it.
And the Bible said because of him, the world was judged. And he was declared righteous.
So everybody is doing it. It's not a reason you should do it.
It's the more reason why you shouldn't.
So that you become the light that they see.
Number 5. Guard your mind, your senses, and your heart. Guard it.
Don't let anybody come sit and talk seductive things with you. Don't let anybody come sit and gossip people with you. Don't let anybody come to you and speak evil around you. Guard.
The Bible said, avoid every appearance of evil.
You know why most of us are choked and we can't live pure?
It's because everything we hear, see, and touch communicates evil.
So we are begging God to help us, but we keep feeding on iniquity.
Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart with all diligence.
It says, out of it are the issues of life.
Paul speaking in Romans 12:2,
be not conformed to this world.
Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Guard yourself. Fight against it.
Even if it's your pastor that you see living in sin, avoid him.
Go and pray for God to show you a new place to go worship.
If you catch me here living in iniquity or impurity, pack your bags and run.
Let me go to hell alone. Don't let me take you.
Nobody is worth it.
So guard your heart, guard your senses, guard your mind.
Number 6, be deliberate in choosing godly friends and godly environments.
1 Corinthians 15:33 says, bad company corrupts good morals.
Proverbs 13:20, him that walketh with the wise is wise.
And I dare to add, not to the scripture, but to that line of thought, that he that walks with the foolish is foolish.
He that walks with the sinner is a sinner.
He that walks with a thief is a thief.
You may have met them unawares. You may have related with them unawares. When you discover, try to convert them if you can't run.
Joseph survived because he fled. If he stayed there long enough, he would have found himself on the bed.
He said, I looked through my window and I saw a young man void of understanding.
He said, he was going the way of the harlot.
He said, for the harlot called him
and he said, come, lay with me. My husband has gone on a journey and I have put rubies on the bed.
Oh, he said, that man has chosen the way of death.
Don't make company with evil people.
They will corrupt you, sir.
If God sends you to them, preach to them. If they don't change, run.
Number 7. Be accountable and submit yourself to discipleship.
James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another.
Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpeneth iron.
As a man, the countenance of his friend.
Don't be an islander.
Have a friend. Have a mentor. Have a leader that you are accountable to. Number 8. Flee. Flee activities that are laden with temptation. Don't live where there's temptation. Flee. 2 Timothy 2:22. Flee youthful lust. Genesis 39:12. Joseph fled. If you don't flee, you won't live to tell the story. Flee. And finally, make up your mind to pursue after holiness. Pursue. Pursue. 1 Corinthians 9:27. I beat my body. I bring it under subjection. 1 Peter 1:15. It says, be holy in all manner of conversation. If you don't make up your mind to pursue it, iniquity will pursue after you and it will overshadow you. Tonight, be mindful. I may not lay hands on you. I may not prophesy to you. But if you live pure, you will carry God's presence. If you live pure, you will have favor that will bring promotion. If you live pure, you will walk in divine authority. If you live pure, you will function by supernatural discernment. If you live pure, you will war against Satan and you will win. And if you live pure, you will walk in blessings and abundance. These are systems that God has put in place for our benefit. Kingdom success and victory. It's not all about lay hands on me, pray for me, prophesy to me. There are others that are dependent on your work and the Holy Ghost. This is one of them. I don't know where you are, but when God mandates us to share like this, He has opened the door of mercy. Maybe there's an aspect of your life, in your thoughts, in your minds, in your conduct, in your relationships, where you have not exercised purity. This is an opportunity to say, Lord, I repent. Have mercy. And if you want to say that prayer, lift your right hand. And perhaps you are here, you have never received Jesus. And today you want to say, Lord Jesus, I don't just call you my Savior. I submit to you as my Lord. Lift your right hand. He's the whole Holy Ghost, Spirit of the living God. Lift that hand properly, let me see you. If you are lifting your hand, stand up. It's only for those who are bold. He's the Holy Ghost, Spirit of the age to come. Changing everything in obedience to God. You are praying that prayer online. You can write on the chat box, I surrender. He's the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. He's the Holy Ghost. Can you run if you don't know the way of the way? Help me. How can you start when you don't know the ways of the Spirit? How can you fly when you don't know the ways of the Spirit? Seeking everything in obedience to God. You lifted your hand, you stood up, walk up to the altar now, and make your commitment to Jesus. Some of you will leave here and burn bridges tonight. Those people you chat with around 1 a.m. and you are saying all kinds of things, you will delete and block. Those your bosses you follow on Friday to nightclub because of suya, and you are listening to worldly songs, dancing in wide parties. Those in the overflow can stand in front of the screen. Those following online, you can indicate, I surrender. I surrender. The Bible said, judge nothing before its time. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 5. Until the time when God shall make manifest the counsels of the heart. A day will come when all the things we hide in our heart or do in secret will be revealed. But there are those who want to be with him forever, and from now they cry, help me. Help me. I just want to be where you are. Where you are.
Your presence is still at your table, surrounded by your glory. In your
This is not a religious sermon. This is a sincere step you have taken because you want to commit yourself to Jesus perpetually, in secret, in public, in spirit, and in truth, believing that He will help you. Place your right hand on your chest. Because of those who are not yet born again, pray this prayer. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe with all my heart that Jesus is your Son. I confess with my mouth that He died for my sins. He was buried, and on the third day He rose again from the dead. Tonight I declare with my mouth and in faith that this same Jesus from this day is my Lord and my Savior. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, for accepting me. In Jesus' name, I am declared. And those of you rededicating yourself, pray this prayer. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, today I acknowledge my sins and I have come asking for mercy. I ask for grace and I ask for restoration. Empower me by the help of your Spirit to live a holy and a pure life that will bring glory and praise to your name. As I return tonight, let this grace that brought this truth come upon my life and give me victory. Victory over sins. Victory over defilement. Victory over mixture. And victory over iniquity. Thank you, Father, because I believe that I have received it. For your word said, ask, you receive. Seek, you will find. Knock, the door will be open. I ask tonight in faith, and so I receive that grace. In Jesus' mighty name. Father, keep and preserve them, and cause them to walk in the light of your countenance. From today, let grace be heavy on their lives, and enable them to live a life pleasing to you. in Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord a big hand. You can take this eye on your left. Walk to the back. Somebody will speak to you there. We also give you the opportunity to be trained and discipled. Out of my belly shall flow rivers. Rivers of living water. Out of my belly, out of my belly shall flow. Your right hands toward heaven. Jesus said, the words you have heard, he said, they have cleansed you. They have purified you. And so I decree and declare over you, as you return, receive access and capacity to bear divine presence. As you return, receive favor that brings promotion. As you return, receive authority and divine power. As you return, receive discernment. As you return, receive boldness. As you return, receive victory over Satan. In the name of Jesus Christ. As I round up, just lift those hands. Somebody is being resisted by powers from his foundation. You are the only person God I will, by the Spirit, handle your matter tonight. There's a power resisting you. Doors open, it closes them. When it remains tomorrow for you to enter, it just shuts from nowhere. When there is favor coming your way, it's about entering your hand, it's cut off. They call it near success syndromes. They call it closed doors. The Lord sent me to you tonight. Wherever you are standing, Father, I decree and declare, everybody under the sound of my voice being resisted by powers from their bloodline, forces from their father's house. There are seven of you now that God is delivering. Wherever you are standing, I command the chains to break. Ushers, bring them now, fast, so that I can round up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Break. Bring them here. Let me lay hands fast. Bring them here fast. On ground, online. Everything stolen from you, I declare restoration now.
matter how you struggle, the powers have held you down. I come as a priest. I decree and declare, let those utterances concerning your destiny, let it be canceled. Let those powers be broken. Let those altars catch fire. Bring them fast. In this hall, in the overflow, and online, I speak by the Spirit. I write a decree. Every force that says you will come forward, I break their hold down. And I release the judgment of God concerning those priests. If they don't repent, they are cut off from the face of the earth. As you return, some of you will have visitations from heaven. Angels of destiny are being activated. You will receive a visitation in the name of Jesus. And some of you will hear news from the village. Men that were known as terrors in the demonic realm, in 7 days, in 14 days, in 21 days, they are cut off from the face of the earth. Thank you, Father. Hey, the problem with deliverance is when you start, you keep going. I'm seeing some people that their destinies were nailed to a tree. You have been on one spot for 10 years. You can say it. You know where you have been for 10 years. I decree now, the anointing that lifts, the anointing that lifts, wherever you are standing, let it come upon your life by violence. Come out from that pot. Come out from that pit. Come out from that tree. I break you out of there now. You are free.
That's who you are. That's who you are.
This is April. I'm seeing somebody, you have dodged fatal accident twice. In this year only, fatal. These are not casual, fatal. That means accident that can kill twice. The number I saw is twice. And they have scheduled a third one for this month. Wherever you are standing, lift your hand. Not everybody. I say you have dodged fatal. Escape fatal. In fact, come to the front here. Let me know the people I'm talking to. Fatal accident. Twice this year already. Oh, he mean here.
That's who you are. That's who you are. Oh, him in here. That's who you are. That's who you are.
If you are alive, right, I connect. If I'm talking to you. Somebody should help that brother.
That's who you are.
Barakapato barakata. Sakapate paragadona tabata. Zereke padaka paporiata. Step into your destiny. Free, free.
From death.
Whoever dug a pit for you, that person will be buried in that pit. In the name of Jesus Christ. Whoever scheduled your death will die in your place. In the name of Jesus Christ, I decree the judgment of death is lifted from your life. It's lifted from your life. In the name of Jesus Christ. Can I tell you something? This month is the month of judgment, where we shut down Satan and his operation this month. In the name of Jesus Christ. Most of you get ready. You will hear news. Wicked men that have taken the lives of many, they will go down this month. Wicked forces that have made a mess of people's destiny, they will be disgraced this month. Lift your hands and give God praise. Pastor Sonny, lay hands on that lady. It's well with you in your going out and coming in Jesus' mighty name.